G'day all. Welcome to another episode of Strange Days.
Well, what I'm trying to point out is this. I understood that I have a purpose here still. Because I'm an elder, okay? Normally, when you're young, you know, you have a life to fulfill. I'm 68 years old. And I'm still here. I'm as lively as all can be. I'm not afraid to die. Never was, because I wasn't supposed to be here a long, long time ago, but I still kept doing what they needed me to do. But my purpose, what I'm supposed to be doing, is what they need all of us to do. Each of us has a journey to take. Each of us has to. We all come together for a reason. We're chosen. That's the reason why they call it the gathering. We are part of that gathering. We're here to share the stories. That's why we're all placed here. And this is not about just me alone, all of us. We're here, we gathered once before. When Jesus walked on this land, at the beginning of time, we gathered before. We may not have seen him, but we heard of him. But when I was a child, I saw him twice in my life, physically. And he said, many will come that are like you, and they'll all come together for a reason. All you guys in that room right now as we speak, every one of you that's in this room right now as we speak, we are the brothers and sisters that are here to help others that need us.
Standing in our power with our authentic truth.
Whether we agree, disagree, we're here for a reason, okay? And, I mean, like I said, whether we carry the ego or not, the fact is we still want something to say because we're trying to get as much of that energy. We're so full of that energy that's in our heart. Our heart is just pounding so hard to scream, can you hear me? That's all it is. No matter if you sing it out, talk it out, yell it out, but we're here in this room for a reason. And this room is actually talking about the PUP. Q is the disclosure. You're in this room tonight. It's the disclosure. We are disclosing everything to share what's important. And Q is the Christ light. That's what it's for. So, I wanted to share that with you. Thank you so much, Tim, for letting me speak.
You're beautiful, Derek. Thank you, bro. Definitely, more of that authentic truth, standing in your power. And that's what I believe. I agree with you 100. This is us coming together, realizing this isn't by accident. It's all divine appointments for us to be here to get all the messages we had to get to this point right now to figure out whatever we got to figure out to unite. And I believe our authentic selves, you know, coming with our truth and standing in our power is going to help do this collectively between us first and then us being the 100 monkeys where we can take our recalibrations and show people what real freedom looks like.
Right. Let's see where we're going here on this broadcast. We should be able to get down through the poo show, no doubt about it. So let's get into the news at hand today on the show, which we will start with a little bit of harp. an interesting analogy of what's been going on in the ionosphere of late, guys. No doubt about it.
Event, right? During this thing that everybody seemingly is seeing in the skies or seeing with their cell phones, which I'll get into in another video. But, okay, so now you're saying to yourself, okay, HARP's on. I don't get it. How do the two formulate? Here's a story from November of 2023, okay, where even popular news outlets like Popular Science, which a lot of the sheeple run to get their information, had this article. Why scientists use these radio transmitters, HARP, to create artificial auroras. So now we can start connecting the dots. Of course, they'll call you a conspiracy theorist, but we can start connecting the dots, right? We have an aurora happening right now all across the Earth, right? Okay, all across the Earth. It's a phenomenon we're supposed to believe is science. HARP is on, okay? And HARP just ran an experiment in November creating artificial auroras. Artificial auroras, okay? So let's read into why HARP in the first place created artificial auroras. Now, you might say, how could they use HARP all the way in Alaska and create that all around the Earth? Well, let's keep in mind, those towers around you can give off magnetic pulses. Those radiation towers around you have the ability to do this as well, to create things in the sky, to send out frequencies in the air. They're not there to make your phone run faster. Nobody's noticed a difference between 4G and 5G. That's a fact. Even the biggest sheeple out there will tell you that they haven't noticed. Just they don't want to believe that those towers are there for a sadistic purpose that has to do with their own health and things that the government can do using those silent weapons is which pretty much what they are, right? So here's the article from November of 2023. If you live in or around Alaska and recently saw some eerie lights in the sky, don't worry. They were all part of a science experiment. Earlier this week, researchers from the University of Alaska Fairbanks, which of course, I love how they tell you that HARP is a part of University of Alaska Fairbanks. It is a part of the government. It's a part of DARPA. It's a part of the CIA. I mean, it is a government. You think that just some kids from a university built HARP when they go to their local hardware shop and got some antennas and they built this thing and they're allowed to shoot this thing into the ionosphere to do all these experiments? So give me a break. It's laughable. Yeah, the University of Alaska Fairbanks and several other U.S. institutions created artificial auroras by sending radio pulses into the Earth's ionosphere using HARP transmitters on the ground. The frequencies of these transmissions were between 2.8 and 10 megahertz. These transmitters act as heaters that excite the gases in the upper atmosphere. When the gases de-excite, they produce an air glow between 120 and 150 miles above ground, according to a notice about the project issued by the HARP team. This is similar to how charged particles from the sun interact with gases in the upper atmosphere to create natural auroras. The charged particles are steered by the Earth's magnetic field to the north and south poles to form aurora borealis and aurora australis. Compared to those light displays, the artificial auroras are much weaker. So why do the researchers do all this? Studying this artificial air glow may provide insights on what happens when real aurora lights appear. If you notice a faint red or green splotch in the sky above Alaska between the 4th and 8th of November, chances are good that you saw an experiment in progress. HARP also notes in its FAQ that these ionosphere heating experiments have no detectable effects on the environment after 10 minutes or so. Okay, so what you learn right there is that the government, not the University of Alaska, you like how after they say the University of Alaska, they go, oh, and U.S. institutions. Okay, this is U.S. government, has the ability to create an aurora. So then you say to yourself, well, why would the government create an aurora? Are they creating auroras? Because they're just up there with our tax money and they're going, you know, it'd be really pretty if we could make like, you know, northern lights all around the world so everybody could be thrilled and happy and smile, right? No, of course that's not what they're doing. They're transmitting frequencies in the ionosphere, right? So we know they have the ability to create artificial auroras. So then the question becomes why and how? Another thing that you need to factor in addition to the why and how, is all these reports that came out that many people were unable with the visible eye. Did anybody out there read that? That people were unable to see this with their own eye. In fact, they were encouraged by the mainstream media to do what? Well, they were encouraged to get out their phone and record it. Why? Well, they tell you that the phone is sharper than the human eye, which is, you know, of course the sheeple will believe, right? So the phone is sharper than the human eye. So get your phone out, look through this device, and stare in to the atmosphere so that you could see this for yourself. What you're seeing are frequencies being let out into the open. Now, you don't know what these frequencies are. You don't know what the long-term effects are. Obviously, none of these people understand HAARP. And all of a sudden, if we think about HAARP and what HAARP's known for, okay, we see what? Rapid tornadoes all around the United States of America. In fact, just forming in the same exact spots over and over and over again. Places that normally don't get tornadoes are getting wiped out. It's not just Oklahoma anymore. It's not just Texas anymore. And soon, I'm sure you'll be seeing the tornadoes forming in cities. And the dumbed-down sheeple out there won't even blink and say, hey, you know, I thought tornadoes only formed over, like, open fields and stuff. Wasn't that science? Oh, well, guess what? You know, now a tornado could form right in the middle of Manhattan. These people will be like, oh, okay, I guess there's a tornado in Manhattan today. They wouldn't think twice because they refuse to believe that the government has the ability to manipulate the weather. It is beyond their comprehension, okay? Just like HAARP, in general, being able to manipulate and create an error is beyond their comprehension because they don't understand why they would do these things. There's a lot of reasons why they would do these types of things, okay? There's a lot that could come of this. People don't seem to understand. If an EMP is done, everything gets fried, including the power grid, okay? Which clearly we know that they could shoot EMPs from 5G towers. They could do this by turning on and cranking up HAARP. They could do this from fighter jets way up in the sky, like I showed you in a previous video that you would never even be able to see. That could literally just send an invisible beam and wipe out an entire city's electricity and electrical grid and short circuit every single device that you have. So do you think it's a coincidence that we have the aurora lights illuminating across North America while HAARP is transmitting a test into the ionosphere, while HAARP just ran a test in November, creating artificial auroras over Alaska, not over North America, over Alaska? But think about what we've heard and what we know now about 5G towers. For people out there that aren't aware, 5G towers can do more than just radiate emissions, okay? 5G towers can be used as like miniature HAARP weapons, okay? The types of frequencies they can get out of that can generate and create tornadoes, etc. And they're everywhere now, right? We're not just talking about, well, they got HAARP up there and they've got the St. Louis Arch. There's a 5G tower within a mile of every other 5G tower. You can't go down a highway anymore without seeing these things popping up all over the place. So while we connect the dots and we see, okay, now we have the aurora lights all across North America. Don't be suspicious. It's just some freak thing of nature that we're supposed to believe. We also have HAARP, who we've all called out for years and years and years, who is running a test experiment at the same time, even though people out there don't know about it. Now they know, right? And they'll go, whatever. They're running a test run. Who cares if HAARP's turned on? HAARP just did a simulation of aurora lights. They just simulated this in November, which means what? That they have the ability to do it. So then you go, okay, so what would the purpose of this be? Well, this purpose would be tenfold. If they could create this in the sky and then shut the grid down, they could do a test run like this, right? Test it out. The whole country saw it all of a sudden. Okay. Oh, now it's around the entire Earth, right? Which tells us that they're going to need more than just HAARP to get this around the entire Earth at the same time. Which means what? Well, a lot of these towers can emulate this from the towers directly, right? So now you look at it and you say, okay, well, if they shut the grid off, they could just say that it's solar, but they were testing it out. They could see that it runs across the Earth. You can see with your own eyes. Boom, there's your boogeyman to tell you why the grid is shut off. Because everybody clearly is now aware of what the aurora lights are. Are they aware of the fact that they could simulate it? No. And then what other propaganda do we get at the same time? Right? We get articles like this. We get articles like this, of course, deflecting within 24 hours, not even, of this happening. We have Harper Solar Storm. Conspiracy theorists say auroras were man-made. Several conspiracy theorists on social media are now claiming that the auroras seen across Europe, North America, Australia, and New Zealand on Friday were man-made, a product of a high-frequency active auroral research program testing. However, these claims were made without any evidence. Well, here's the evidence. I'll give you the evidence, okay? The evidence is this. They have the ability to do this. They've told us they have the ability to do this. Nobody should trust anything that they're being told on the television set. And if you say why, why don't you just use your common sense and stare at the TV Pay attention to what they're saying and tell me how in the world we could trust a word coming out of their mouths. They gaslight us 24/7 against one another. They lie to us about everything. They just lied to the entire world in 2020 about something that occurred. And now it's out in the open that it was a lie. And nobody even seems to care or hold them accountable. So who's ever going to hold these people accountable? They just come out with stories like this and they go, well, according to conspiracy theorists, without any actual evidence. Well, where's the evidence that it's not man-made? Where's the evidence of that? Bill Nye? Is that the evidence? You roll out Bill Nye and Neil deGrasse Tyson, whatever the guy's name is. You roll them out every time there's a scientific event and we have to believe it's science because these two a-holes get rolled out on television and we're supposed to trust and believe these actors who couldn't be more flaming, by the way. Yeah, no thank you. Goes on to say, several conspiracy theorists on social media are now claiming that the auroras seen across Europe, North America, Australia, New Zealand, were man-made, a product of HARP. However, the claims are without evidence. Users on X platform, formerly known as Twitter, cited a press release of the University of Alaska Fairbanks Space Program to say that it was conducting tests from the 8th to the 10th. However, the website isn't working for us. That's what the article says. Yeah, I just found it on the website, so there you go.
Anyway, that's enough of those shenanigans. That's taken up quite some time.
Good morning. Ben Hawkes here. I'm at Stanton Drew between Bath and Bristol, which is a very important and very sacred site that nobody knows what they did with it. Imagine that. Imagine what could have gone on here. Only good things, which I can certainly feel. And I'm here to kick this off. I know that a lot of people have been on a lot of lays, a lot of sacred sites previous to this date, but this is the premiere of Time to Rise within the correct theatre or auditorium or venue that it's meant to be sung. So this is Time to Rise. Lay love down where they cross in the morning. It is time to rise when we're done, they are done. Lay love down where they cross in the morning. It is time to rise when we're done, they are done. Done, they are done, they are done, they are done. It is time to rise when we're done, they are done. Lay love down where they cross in the morning. It is time to rise when we're done, they are done. Save the ley lines, save the world. Now it's your turn. Keep charging.
Boron, your thyroid, what I eat in a day or what we eat in a day. So just a whole bunch of stuff. So if you guys have any questions, you can always throw questions in there and I'll also answer them as well too. But the first one I wanted to hit on, which I think is really important, is the pineal gland, and that is the third eye, right? So back in the day, this was like years ago, I basically consumed a lot of chaga mushroom. And I mean a lot. I was consuming as much chaga mushroom as I could at one time. And I pretty much went through an experience in which I was basically above my body, right? So I could basically be above my body, kind of like the person in control of my body while I was roaming through the basically my day, right? So I was sitting at this place and it felt like I was uplifted and placed above my body and I could see everything in 360 degrees. I couldn't tell what time it was because time didn't matter anymore. And I was just in this different state. And ever since I've had that experience, I never really looked at life the same anymore. And that was, in my opinion, like a third eye experience of opening up the pineal gland to see our existence and things that we cannot see and something more, right? So basically what happened was it lasted almost anywhere from 6 to 8 hours and it was completely natural. I didn't take anything else. I didn't use anything. I just drank chaga mushroom. And for some reason, the chaga mushroom just hit that day. And I pretty much just saw life completely different. After that day, I was heavily into sun gazing and doing lots of sun gazing, doing lots of meditations. I would do a lot of stuff with hemisync, which is music that activates both sides of the brain at the exact same time. And I would do a lot of sun gazing. And after that, I would pretty much start to just see things differently. And I noticed during my sun gazes that I would start to see like almost things from 360 degrees. But also like from front to back, like past and present at the exact same time. So imagine watching like a videotape that's going forward and back and you can just push play or you could push rewind and you could just watch life like that. So I started analyzing life differently and really seeing things differently. So how much chaga mushroom did you drink? So it was actually only a small amount. It was just I brewed a tea that I put some charcoal, activated carbon charcoal in there to pull everything out of it. And I brewed this tea, and this tea was just really strong. And I guess because the tea sat for like 4 hours, I would say, that one day, that it just hit me pretty much. And it was really, really strong. And then I had this just awakening. So when it comes to the pineal gland and this third eye, right? So this is our connector. It's kind of like when you look at like insects and birds and every other thing, right? They have basically, it's kind of like a magnet. You know, it's kind of like they have a magnet inside their brain. So that's how they can GPS and go places. And their antennas can also pick up on things as well too. But
yeah, you're welcome to the room, all. Yeah, I have this mushroom nearly every day mix with a bit of juice. Just shake it up in the bottle, you know. Lion's mane, sugar, reishi, I think it's called shiitake, cordyceps. What's the other one? I think it's, let's have a look here. I think it's, tamella. And I think it's maytake. Maytake. Yeah, man. It's one of the best brands online for sure. Just a powder form, and it's actually quite tolerable with juice. I actually find it less tolerable to get moringa into me than the mushroom compounds.
We have that too. It's the middle eye that's in between to elevate our consciousness and connect us to our crown chakra and open up our mind and our consciousness. But this gets disabled when they pour fluoride and chemicals and all these artificial flavors and sweeteners and everything else that's inside of our food supply. This area starts to get disconnected and starts to calcify. And you can get a calcified pineal gland. And so what you can use is stuff like chaga mushroom. You can look into stuff like borax or boron. You can look into tamarind paste. You can look into turmeric. You know, if you look into the Indian culture, they put a little bit of turmeric right here on the third eye. And that actually will help pull the fluoride right out of that area so that it can start to open up. It's very simple. You can take a little bit of olive oil, a little bit of turmeric. You can place that right on the third eye, and that will start to pull all the fluoride out of that area. That third eye will then start to open, and you can start to see things in a different way. And everybody's different. Everybody has different types of experiences. But basically, in my opinion, the third eye is like our connecting, you know, to the higher consciousness or to the cosmos or to whatever you want to call it, because it's pretty much just an eye-opening experience. And we used to be very spiritually in tuned with that, but a lot of our foods, the pesticides, the sprays, the flavors, all of these things, the fluoride, that all starts to block up that area so that we disconnect, and then we're just kind of frozen kind of like that.
It often makes you wonder with hair as well. I think hair's a very, I know in the Truly Society and those sort of aspects, that hair is very important as an antenna to the higher realms of beyond here and there, you know, for inspirations. I wouldn't be surprised if mermaids had really, really long hair. I would not be surprised. Or the sages, you know, where they used to go in, and the oracles and all these other things, you know. Yeah. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? Makes you just bloody wonder.
What are ley lines?
What about ley lines?
Ley lines is a straight fault line in the Earth's tectonic plates.
That's right. Let's go into ley lines for 5 minutes. Hey, check this here. Now, it's fascinating. I love looking at graphs. Actually, on several I've seen, some of them are a little bit different, which is a bit weird, of the location in my country. I'm finding it very hard to get a really legitimate map on ley lines. But anyway, have a listen to this guy's take on the ley lines.
This is a scientific fact. Through these cracks in the Earth's tectonic plates, the magnetic energies released are very powerful indeed. Many people have claimed to have felt the urge surge up their body. And some have claimed that they have blacked out, as the surge was that powerful. How long have human beings known about ley lines? Our ancestors have known about these ley lines for thousands of years. Every race and culture on this planet has known about these lines, yet everyone had different names for these lines. All we need to do is look at the ancient cultures of Earth. Take the Native Indians of the United States. They used to call ley lines spirit lines, and their shamans used to use the electromagnetic energy in these lines to help them contact the spirits. They even designed their medicine wheel on the spirit lines, as they knew these lines followed a straight round line. How did they know about these lines and energies that they give off? The answer is simple. The sky gods told them. In Europe, we were led to believe that the Druids called them mystical lines. In Wales, they use the same name in Eastern countries. They call them dragon lines. We know that Eastern countries call them dragon lines, as the sky gods flew in dragons along these lines. The Aboriginal people of Australia call these lines dream lines. And once again, they claim that this knowledge was passed on to them from the sky gods. The Da Vinci Code was based on René's Le Chateau in France, which is also on a ley line. It is documented that Alexander the Great was guided by Aristotle to take control of the major dome centers of these intersecting ley lines from dark forces, which is why he put his top general Ptolemy to rule Egypt. Interestingly, Cleopatra, the last pharaoh, alongside with both her husbands, Julius Caesar and Mark Antony of Rome, were defeated by the Romans, where they eventually destroyed the biggest library in Alexandria, Egypt, before taking all the knowledge with them, sending us into the Dark Ages. During the medieval times, anyone who had any knowledge of Hermetics was designated a heretic and died a horrible death. This held true for whoever knew how to read or write, a heresy, leaving only the royals and the monasteries literate. Throughout history, all the megalithic structures have been strategically built on top of these so-called lines, from the pyramids of Giza to Stonehenge, Notre Dame, Solomon's Temple, Parthenon, Oracle of Delphi, René Le Chateau, Ziggurat, the Vatican, DC Capitol, Mecca, Hagia Sophia, Aztec Pyramids, Bermuda Triangle, Coral Castle, Tesla's lab in Shoreham, New York, including all nuclear power plants, military bases, and stadiums, which are also used to harness energies, like giant batteries. Many of these sections where two or more ley lines intersect are marked with obelisks, such as Washington DC Monument, Vatican Courtyard, and Cleopatra's Needle in Central Park. These electromagnetic lines of the Earth are its veins and receive its energies from the sun that connects and affects every living thing on this planet. We are electrical, and our atoms surrounded by electrons, electricity. Greg Braden explains it best by asking us, where does our heart get its electrical capacity from?
Isn't it funny when I look back in these sort of studies and things, it hasn't got too much longer ago, but the Ark of the Covenant, the Noah's Ark, when you think about it, if you know anything about welding and shit like that, there's a thing called the Ark, which is an interesting concept of where we get the form or the terminology of Ark. I think there's a big connection there that a lot of us haven't connected, really, if you think about it.
We are connected to the Earth's electromagnetic fields, and our heart is our battery. Many of our ancient spiritual figures knew of this hidden knowledge and meditated or prayed on these lines, or megalithic centers, which elevated their electrical auras, intellect, and connection to higher self through the activation of the seven energy centers, chakras. Could this in fact be what the golden halos depicted on all spiritual figures throughout history represented? Many of our top intellectual minds, such as Tesla, Einstein, and others, all have something in common. This is, they all at some point have shared that their idea, invention, or formula came to them in a daydream, or dream, which is in fact a meditative state of mind. For example, Einstein was very knowledgeable on the physics of Kabbalah, and Tesla became very close with Swami Vivekananda, where through Swami's teachings, realized that his ideas that would come to him in an aha moment were coming from these close interactions with these ley lines, allowing him to access Akashic records. Nikola Tesla, who was born during a terrible thunderstorm and lightning storm, used these ley lines to conduct his famous tower, which would give free energy to all.
He basically...
Hey, have a listen to this.
He gave me up for medical experimentation.
This, it's hard to really explain. It's a bit of a mishmash, this one, but it's fascinating about eyes. It's Rachel Vorman on MK Ultra and psychic abilities and central, what is it? Heterochromia. Okay. All right. It goes for 2 minutes. That's not that long. It's an interesting thing that she has about all these dark shenanigans behind the scene and eyes. Anyway, have a listen to this for 2 minutes.
He basically, he gave me up for medical experimentation, which was partly because my mother has an unusual iris color. It's called central heterochromia. And this is my dear friend and my cousin, Doug McIntyre's research that I'm going to be talking about here. But central heterochromia was something that the Nazis were fascinated with. So the Nazis in the Second World War were absolutely obsessed with the occult. And in the Hindu religion, people with central heterochromia could see ghosts and they could see the future and they had a lot of abilities. So the Nazis were experimenting, particularly on gypsies that had this eye coloration. Central heterochromia is very much like you see a lot of Hollywood elites with this eye color. So you've got people with full heterochromia have two different colored eyes. So you might have a green eye and a blue eye, or a green eye and a brown eye, or blue and brown. With central heterochromia, there's a circle of a different color around the pupil than there is around the rest of the iris. And like I said, in the Hindu religion, those are the seers, those are the more psychic individuals. My mother had that eye colour. I believe my father selected her for that, for breeding. So, and it's interesting, he must have either, I don't remember seeing anybody with that eye colour on his side of the family, but my mother had it. And I believe his first wife, who also died in very strange circumstances, we believe she was murdered, and that's another inquest that needs to happen. And because she died at a time when my mother had already met my father, was seeing him and had become impregnated with him, and just, I think she'd just given birth to his child. So the first wife had to go, because if he'd had to divorce her, he would have had to let go of the house that had the bunker and the tunnels, which was never going to happen. So his first wife was gotten rid of. It was a horrible, horrible experience. So it's interesting because one of my other siblings from her, because I've got three half siblings, well, two now, one's dead, and two full siblings. One of my other half siblings also has this central heterochromia. So my father was choosing, I believe, women to breed with who had this in the family, in the interest of producing children that he could then hand over to the MK Ultra program for this experimentation. And I'm a product of that, even though I see myself as, you know, well and truly above the abuse that I experienced.
Bloody hell, pretty deep, eh? Damn. Never really thought about it. Just looked at my eyes. I've got some sort of like silver around my pupil. Well, I might be a part of that little clan, to be honest with you. That, I don't have to look deeper into it. I like eyes. I love it. I would love a wall of just eyes, like all different eyes around the world. That'd look wild, hey? Like even reptilian eyes or... you know, lion's eyes, man. I reckon they'd make an awesome wall picture, eh? Just all these eyes, probably about 2 foot square, you know, just lavished across or down a hallway or something. They look wild, man. I love eyes. I've always fascinated in the eyes. Well, this one goes on a bit about the pineal gland. I really wanted to cover this on this show, so it's going to be a bit of a main topic here. We're going to go into about 14 minutes of this, and I'll bring up some herbs and things you can actually use that will help, unless this guy brings it up. I haven't listened to the whole documentary yet. But, what I'll do, I'll play 5 minutes, not even that, probably 4 or 5 minutes, and then I'll publish the whole thing. 15's a little bit too long. So this is a taste of what I'm going to publish anyway.
Cryo transducer, secreting melatonin responsible for physiological circadian rhythm control. A new form of biomineralization has been studied in the human pineal gland and consists of small crystals that are less than 20 microns in length. These crystals are responsible for electromechanical, biological transduction mechanism in the pineal gland due to the structure and piezoelectric properties. That's a lot of words to digest, but let's break it down into two meaningful points. The key words here are piezoelectric properties and transducer. The piezoelectric effect occurs when you apply pressure to certain materials and that mechanical stress is changed into an electrical charge. To put it in simple terms, the pineal gland contains calcite crystals made of calcium, carbon, and oxygen, and because of their structure, they express this effect. Like an antenna, the pineal gland has the capacity to become electrically activated and generate electromagnetic fields that can tune into information. That's point number one. In addition, in the same way an antenna pulsates a rhythm or frequency to match the frequency of an incoming signal, the pineal gland receives information carried on invisible electromagnetic fields. Since all frequency carries information, once the antenna connects to the exact signal of the electromagnetic field, there must be a way to convert and descramble that signal into a meaningful message. That's exactly what a transducer does, and that's the second point. A transducer is anything that receives a signal in the form of one type of energy, and converts it into a signal in another form. Take a moment to look around you. The space you are sitting in is filled with TV, radio, and Wi-Fi waves that are all different frequency ranges of invisible electromagnetic energy. You can't see any of them with your eyes, but they're still there. For example, the antenna that picks up a range of frequencies carrying a signal to your TV is transduced into a picture on your TV screen. When you tune into an FM station, you are tuning your antenna to a specific electromagnetic frequency. The information carried in that frequency range is then transduced into a coherent signal, which is the music you hear with your ears. The study I quoted says the pineal gland is a neuroendocrine transducer, capable of receiving and converting signals within the brain. When the pineal gland acts as a transducer, it can pick up frequencies above our three-dimensional space-time, sensory-based reality. Once the pineal gland is activated, it can tune into higher dimensions of this space and time. And like a TV, it can then turn the information carried on those frequencies into vivid imagery, and surreal, lucid, transcendental experiences in our mind, including profoundly heightened multisensory visions beyond our vocabulary. For the pineal gland to become activated, some important things must happen. I will address them now. 1. The piezoelectric effect. Critical to creating the piezoelectric effect in the pineal gland are the calcite crystals mentioned above. Remember, these are very tiny crystals, approximately 1 to 20 microns in length. To put this in context, their size can range anywhere from 1/100th to 1/4 the width of a human hair. For the most part, they are octahedron, hexahedron, and rhombohedron in shape. The purpose of the breathing technique we do before many meditations is to pull the mind out of the body by liberating potential energy stored as emotions in the lower three energy centers. As we inhale and contract those intrinsic muscles, follow our breath from the perineum, all the way up our spine to the top of our head, and then hold our breath and squeeze those muscles more. We're increasing intrathecal pressure. This is the internal pressure created when you push up against your insides. For example, when you hold your breath and lift something heavy. The word piezoelectric is derived from the Greek words piezine, which means to squeeze or press, and piezo, which means to push. When you do this, you are pushing cerebrospinal fluid up against the pineal gland, exerting mechanical stress on it. This mechanical stress translates into an electrical charge. And it's this exact action that compresses the stacked crystals in the pineal gland and creates a piezoelectric effect. The crystals of the pineal gland generate an electric charge in response to the stress you're applying. One of the unique characteristics of the piezoelectric effect is that it's reversible, meaning that the materials exhibiting the direct piezoelectric effect, the crystals,
also exhibit a converse piezoelectric effect.
Yeah, pretty fascinating stuff, guys. I don't usually put up such a short show, but I will put that up definitely when I publish this. And yeah, man, fascinating stuff if you're into that, of course. I mean, you can use like pineal gland detoxes as well with spirulina, chlorella, and wheatgrass, red and green algae. They're all sort of rich in, the chemicals, and it helps to bloody decalcify the pineal gland as well. You can use iodine. Iodine's really good, you know, for the pineal gland. You can have excess of iodine too. That can cause a few problems though. You can have boron. Boron's another really good one with the pineal gland. You know, it's actually present in beetroot, which is a really good raw mix to have as a drink, I guess. What's the other one? Raw apple cider you can have. You can have apple cider, you know, and do it with that. And you can also have vitamin K2. I've got a bit of a graft here. Let's see if it's up. Oh, yeah, here it is. There's 15 pineal glands decalcifiers. Now, I'm not sure on some of the freaking names of these, but you've got Mucana, you've got Reishi mushroom, algae, passion flower, milk thistle, Albizia, Ginkgo, Jacobloba, blue lotus, Gotu Kola, Noni. Shizandra, Moringa. Oh, Moringa's just about, Moringa is, I can go on forever about Moringa. What a plant. That is an amazing plant. Chaga, aloe vera, and turmeric. And of course, yeah, curcumin. So you get it, that in the other form of turmeric as well with the other herb I'd gather. Cumin seems to be the main one with turmeric. Yeah, what a fascinating thing. Did you know that
the stunning amethyst crystal?
Now, this is one of my favorite crystals, guys. I'm big on stones and crystals and all these other things. The amethyst is one of my favorite. I'm actually, I don't know how to explain it. It's nearly like a love relationship, but I don't even actually have a really big one. I've got a really little one, but I need to get a proper amethyst, and that's next on my list of my goals before I fall off the cart, so to speak. I'd love to have an amethyst. Like, imagine a man just in a room or a wall just of them. Oh yeah, I mean, we're talking big bucks, you know. People buy Ferraris and all that, but imagine if you put the money into something like that, how wicked that look with some nice lighting in the background. Oh, man.
Stunning amethyst crystal is not just a feast for the eyes, but also a marvel of nature that synchronizes with your own brainwaves. Here's a mind-blowing fact for you. Amethyst radiates alpha waves, the same kind of waves your brain produces during a restful sleep. Yes, you heard that right. When you're lost in the world of dreams, your brain is buzzing with alpha waves, and so is amethyst, making it the ultimate sleep companion. Why does this matter? Because aligning with these waves can help enhance your quality of sleep, promote relaxation, and even encourage a more meditative state. Imagine placing an amethyst under your pillow or on your bedside table, turning your bedroom into a sanctuary of peace and tranquility. So, if you're looking for a natural way to improve your sleep, or just want to create a more zen atmosphere, consider inviting amethyst into your space. Let's harness the power of nature to elevate our well-being. Sweet dreams, everyone.
Do you know what I use? I get a crystal, and I get a beanie on overnight, especially when it's cold. It's good anyway. And I'll flip the beanie up if it's long enough. I've got about frickin' 10, 12 beanies. And get the long one, and flip it up, and then just put the crystal on your pineal gland, like on your third eye, so to speak, or my rock, or a gemstone of sorts, you know, or amethyst, whatever, all these other crazy things. And I find it a good way to connect in the, especially with crystals, if all this stuff is sort of right, you know. Well, I'd love to do it with a really nice amethyst, even just a bloody size of your thumb. That'd be awesome just to put. That's about the size I use in my crystals sometimes. But then there's other times I use like, I don't know, I've just got about every freaking gemstone you can think about. Quartz, of course, with the crystals and bloody cat's eye, I think the other one's called. And I've even got asteroid, like, what do you call it? Asteroids from Africa. And the other one that comes off something knights, magnites, I think they call them. All sorts of crazy things. Yeah, man, I've got a pretty good collection. I need to take a picture and bloody put the whole thing up one day, because it would blow your mind, I think, if you're into that sort of stuff. Otherwise, it'd be pretty boring, you know. Yeah, during this solar storm that we've just had or having during the last few days, it, the flooding of our energy fields during this time is, it's because with the electrical energy can cause heightened anxiety, irritation, anger, and soreness in your body. Researchers found that solar storms, it's got a fucking scratch my eye, correlate with a heightened amount of suicide rates. Look out for one another, drink lots of water, and ground your feet on the earth to prepare for this heightened energy flow. So if you're feeling a little bit funky out there, there might be some reasons towards it, you know. Yeah, these things, I mean, think about it. They have to have some sort of impact. Our virtual life would be gone without it, you know. So if a solar flare happens, if the old maid ain't too happy and just disperses some sort of things. I mean, that was a pretty big one, actually. I think it's ending here today. I haven't seen the lights here in my part. I have heard that they have seen them in certain parts of South Australia. But, yeah, man. Yeah, that they can muck you around pretty funky, you know. So, I haven't noticed anything really emotionally freaking unstable about the situation. I don't know. I guess it depends where the main pulse hits the most, I guess. It's probably, I think it'd be more America's, for the sounds of it, what they were saying. Bloody hell. One, two, three, five, eight, 30, 21, 34, 55, 89, 144. 1 plus 4 plus 4 equals 9. That's right. 9. The number 9. The number 9. Do do
Sam, this is the inside of a Taurus field, and today we're going to talk about nature's inherent...
No, we're not.
Everything is Taurus fields. There's nothing but Taurus fields. There's majestic big ones. There's minuscule ones, which we call atoms. Our body's made of atoms, and those atoms are little donuts. Little Taurus fields. Taurus fields. Taurus fields. Taurus fields. The earth is in the middle. It's the middle garden. The center. Here is the dielectrical inertial plane. And so are the seven planets below us.
I'm about to blow your mind, guys.
Truvaloka, Polestar, where Rama sits. He has created this world, this cosmos, this universe. The outside of the Taurus field, this is what we call the firmament. So when we see those thick stars precessing, it's crystalline in structure. This is moving and turning. It's a big, massive Taurus field. This is the universe, a bubble, a sphere. And inside this sphere, you know, well, in that system we saw from the Hare Krishnas, 15 planets. Middle one here, seven below, seven above, and then three layers of firmaments, which they call Primum Moguli. Three layers. And so this is where we live. We live in a big apple. Have you heard the expression? This is like an apple of a polar, a massive Taurus, massive Taurus, massive Taurus. And so we live inside the big apple. That's why, hence the expression, the big apple. Everything is apples. In the center of the apple is the core, the heart, the curve.
Everything's the heart, apple, guys.
The heart. And so, welcome to the real world. You live on here. And when the moon turns around, this is a central tree.
Apples.
This is called Yggdrasil.
Yeah.
The hyperboloid center of our Earth, the North Pole. North Pole. Here is the South Pole. When you go further beyond, there are other lands beyond. Other lands beyond. It's a Taurus field inside of a Taurus field. And everything is Taurus.
We're in a Taurus field, guys. It ain't rocket science. Think about it.
The government put a great hit on us in a vaccine. And my voice was the voice that told you, don't take it. Don't take it.
Farrakhan.
They're trying to kill us softly with a vaccine. 4 years ago, we were right here in Detroit. And many of us got sick. And the same thing is happening now. In Chicago and Detroit, a blending of the virus, a blending of the flu vaccine, a blending of other things to make it more deadly. Many of our people died. And they promoted this vaccine. Came to black people and said, a jab for a joint. They tried to give you drugs because you love drugs, but you're not wise to comfort yourself and your family and care for your lives properly.
Bloody hell. It was Farrakhan.
So do you think, hypothetically speaking, militarily, Egypt would be quite a formidable partner for Israel? And what would it...
This one goes into... It doesn't go for very long. It's only about a minute. Israel forces are so exhausted, so operationally constrained by what they've done, that if Egypt... Okay, so this is to do with Egypt getting involved in a war with Israel, I guess. Check this out. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Speaking militarily, Egypt would be quite a formidable partner for Israel. And what would the United States' reaction be if Israel or if Egypt enacted Article 51 and did invade Gaza?
To be honest, the Israeli forces are so overmatched right now, so exhausted, so operationally constrained by what they've done, that if Egypt engaged decisively, it would make the initial moments of Yom Kippur, pale in comparison. That Egypt, if they were to bring in, several armored divisions, there's nothing the Israelis could do short of, nuclear weapons to stop them. That's the reality. But Egypt is addicted to the American aid. They're not going to give it up because this would require the United States to actually believe in what. But here's the signal. This is the signal that's being sent to the world.
Mate.
You can never trust America. Now, I mean, if you haven't figured that one out by now, shame on you.
Yeah, I've never really thought about much of an Egyptian-Israel conflict. I thought it might have been a bit more scaled in other areas, but you can sort of see the possibilities there for sure. I often wonder about the power source of these operations and or the countries, what they can actually pull off, Yeah, it could be quite Armageddon-ish. There's no doubt about it when you think about it. Welcome to the room, all. Good to see us. Thanks for joining. Just going on a few news articles and things and rolling through the show. And
Yoel Roth.
We're coming up to the 1 hour, so I might have to have a quick break. And we might have a call in about 15 minutes.
Was, of course, there's a lot of people denied that they had done what they had done. And then also the Washington Post put out a press.
What's this one? Fake Russian disinformation exposed by USA whistleblower. All right, I'm not really sure. I haven't listened to this one, so I just see where this goes. Anyway, it only goes for a bloody minute and a bit, actually. Oh, shit, no, it goes for 15 minutes. All right, we'll have a listen for a couple of minutes of this, probably 3 minutes.
Well, the subversion of democracy is alive and well in the United States, and look no further than the Hamilton 68 dashboard, which helped create dozens of fake stories in major media outlets to sway American elections. It accused conservatives, of course, of trafficking in Russian disinformation. All of that has been largely debunked now, and Biden, of course, is now president of the United States, or somebody...
I didn't even realize through the whole broadcast that I had my freaking mic plugged in. I don't even know where the freaking hell it's gone. It's way over here somewhere. Ah, shit. Well, I hope it's come through okay. Has it been coming through anyone long term in the show? I didn't even know I had the bloody thing that was thrown over the back of me freaking computer. Bloody hell. Oh, wow. It's okay now. Yeah, but before, was it crap? I probably wasted a whole freaking hour or so just on nothing. I'll listen back later. That's a shitter. That's a real shitter.
Clearly running the United States. So did it actually work? Well, now a whistleblower has come forward to detail her employer's role in helping to create disinformation that could be uploaded and
spread. I'm not even going to give him a couple of minutes. Let's do it.
Spread on this Hamilton 68 dashboard. Our next guest broke this story and spoke to this whistleblower. Paul Thacker wrote a deep dive story on his Substack about this, which we'll have linked up below. And investigative journalist Paul Thacker joins us now for the first time on Redacted. Paul, great to have you here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So I think maybe first, before we get into Betsy, which is the whistleblower you spoke to, maybe it's it would be
instructive. Ah, shut up. They're boring me, guys. I can't even stand looking at them. Sorry about that. Power up. Prison report.
During World War II, the Nazis' most classified project was known as Die Glock, the Bell. Secret documents found years later reveal that the Bell was a new kind of exotic energy technology that could affect time and defy gravity. In 1939, the Nazis set up a secret base in Antarctica known as New Schwabia.
Hey, I know what was in the Bell, guys. I've got secret intel. Think of the letter M. That was what was inside the Bell.
In 1945, Operation Paperclip secretly brought hundreds of Nazi scientists into America, where they were hired by the military-industrial complex. In 1946, Admiral Richard Byrd led a military expedition known as Operation High Jump.
Red Mercury, guys. Mercury has anti-gravitical properties. That's right. That is right.
To seek out Nazi base New Schwabia and other Antarctica bases. On his way back to the U.S., Admiral Byrd told Chilean newspaper El Mercurio that in the event of a new war, the U.S. would be facing military craft that can fly from one pole to the other
at
incredible speed. In 1959, a dozen nations signed the Antarctic Treaty, making it illegal for anyone to travel south of the 60th parallel without government permission. Since then, curious videos have circulated that show what appear to be Nazi UFOs.
Wow.
And just last Monday, Dr. Stephen Greer introduced Antarctica whistleblower Eric Hecker.
In 2010, I was selected to go down to the South Pole Station in Antarctica for an entire year by Raytheon Polar Services as an employee of a third-party contractor for the National Science Foundation. I function in a dual-role capacity as a tradesman and a firefighter. My responsibilities required me to be more informed than most of my crew and offered me complete access to the facilities. What I learned from this unique experience needs to be shared with the entire world.
Wow.
The technology at the South Pole Station certainly can do what it is presented as its primary purposes, and unfortunately, much more.
The much more, guys.
Is presented as a passive listening device for the purposes of the science as presented.
Bloody
but I'm going to skip right through the chase, folks. I have provided documentation that proves that the 5,160, what they call DOMs, that are embedded in the ice can actually transmit at 2,047 volts each.
Bloody
that gives us a long list of things to consider. It is effectively a multifaceted directed energy weapons platform that I will list rapidly a few things that it can do. Vehicle detection. We're learning that these off-world craft, on-world craft, ours or other nations, are also emitting neutrinos. So this makes the South Pole Station effectively an air traffic control station for this new level of equipment that nobody's discussing. In addition to the ability to detect neutrinos and the exotic vehicles, I have provided documentation that shows that this is also a system for faster than light communications.
In the past, Gary McKinnon has communications. NASA
found the off-world fleet, the list of captains, and it's apparent that if we have faster than light vehicles moving throughout the system, we're going to need faster than light communications. This is that facility. Unfortunately, I have other bad news. The season that I was there, 2010 to 2011, we converted from construction to operations and maintenance in both the elevated station and the detector array. Unfortunately, when they first fired it up, that was when we had the earthquakes in Christchurch, New Zealand. There's two incidental shots before they were able to target it correctly. This is an earthquake-generating device as well. This is the weapons of war that we have to deal with now and what Raytheon's hiding.
Shut it down, Oz.
There's an ELF system at the South Pole Station that when I arrived, I was told it was off, dismantled, and completely defunct. in my work, I will rapidly just tell you, I had to figure out the circuitry for certain other repairs, and I found that this system is in fact completely energized, up and running, and being utilized with the other systems for nefarious purposes as well.
Nefarious purposes, guys.
Is, in what we call the clean air sector. I witnessed myself a very powerful green laser shooting out of the top of this facility into the cosmos. This, I believe, is a secondary form of long-range communications and or a defense system. A question of power comes into play for all of these facilities that are present. I assure you, I knew what was going on. I knew the load demands of the facility, and all of these new items exceed the demand for the systems that I was presented. I'm doing due diligence and research. I believe there is either a secondary power supply there that is either nuclear, that was there prior to the start of the Antarctic Treaty, which prohibits such things, and or that there is some sort of exotic power supply system there that just is not in the verbiage of the treaty, so it negates the responsibility to the parties involved.
Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
Oh, well, there's a little bit of happy pill for the day, eh? Made you all feel nice and fluffy inside and all these other aspects. Yeah, man, what a mess. What a shit show, really, when you think about it. All right, I'm going to have a quick break, and if anyone would like to call in and have a talk to Uncle Osman, I'd much appreciate it. I love it. I like it. Whatever you want to do. If not, I can continue the broadcast.
Well, what I'm trying to point out is this.
Break time.
I understood that I have a purpose here still. Because I'm an elder, okay? Normally, when you're young, you know, you have a life to fulfill. I'm 68 years old. And I'm still here. I'm as lively as all can be. I'm not afraid to die.
This one's for you,
never
sir.
Was, because I wasn't supposed to be here a long, long time ago, but I still kept doing what they needed me to do.
Mama told me.
But my purpose, what I'm supposed to be doing, is what they need all of us to do. Each of us has a journey to take. Each of us has to, we all come together for a reason. We're chosen. That's the reason why they call it the gathering. We are part of that gathering. We're here to share the stories. That's why we're all placed here. And this is not about just me alone. All of us.
We
gathered once before. When Jesus walked on this land, at the beginning of time, we gathered before. We may not have seen him, but we heard of him. But when I was a child, I saw him twice in my life, physically. And he said, many will come that are like you, and they'll all come together for a reason. All you guys in that room right now as we speak, every one of you that's in this room right now as we speak, we are the brothers and sisters that are here to help others that need us.
That's right.
Our power whether we agree or disagree, we're here for a reason, okay? And, I mean, like I said, whether we carry the ego or not, the fact is we still want something to say because we're trying to get as much of that energy. We're so full of that energy that's in our heart. Our heart is just pounding so hard to scream, can you hear me? That's all it is. No matter if you sing it out, talk it out, yell it out, but we're here in this room for a reason. And this room is actually talking about the PUP. Q is the disclosure. You're in this room tonight. It's the disclosure. We are disclosing everything to share what's important. And Q is the Christ light. That's what it's for. So, I wanted to share that with you. Thank you so much, Tim, for letting me speak.
You're beautiful, Derek. Thanks, bro. Definitely more of that authentic truth standing in your power. And that's what I believe. I agree with you 100. This is us coming together, realizing this isn't by accident. It's all divine appointments for us to be here to get all the messages we had to get to get to this point right now to figure out whatever we got to figure out to unite. And I believe our authentic selves, you know, coming with our truth and staying in our power is going to help
I'll probably screw it up most of the show.
Recalibrations and show people what real freedom looks like.
Definitely.
How many coincidences till this man